And welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good that you could be a part of our service this morning. The weather, at least, has started slightly better than it did last Sunday, but it doesn't look much better for the rest of the day. But we'll do the best we can, and we thank you for being a part of our service today. It is a special day because in the midst of God's people here, we are going to be adding some new members. After our late service this morning, we're going to be having a reception. So feel free, if you wish, to come back and join us and welcome these new people. It is not a large class this time around, but still, it's always important in the midst of watching people in which the body of Christ has its people added onto with their distinct and unique talents and so forth. We'll take just a moment for a prayer after our message this morning for that. We need to talk a little bit. I don't know how many of you once in a while hit the Saturday night worship, but we've got some things we need to share with you, and also about our Vacation Bible School, because next Saturday we have an afternoon-long Vacation Bible School that does include a closing worship service. So the closing worship will be over at Sims Park along with the rest of Vacation Bible School, unless the weather does not permit, and there's nothing we can do. We'll have signs up for everybody to let them know what's going to be happening. And if you see the signs that say over at Sims Park, that's where we're going to be. If we have rain, we're going to be moving everything over into the CLC, and we'll probably end up having worship over in the CLC as well. Just, you know, as long as that's where we are, that's where we will close next week for that. So, regarding Vacation Bible School, though, we're going to need we've got a bunch of things we're going to be putting together to get ready for the day, and we're going to be doing that Friday morning at 9 a.m. And so if we've got some people, if you wonder, well, I'd like to help, but I can't, there's a lot of things in a Vacation Bible School I can't do, come on and give us a hand. We're going to be in the conference room and in the music room getting a bunch of things ready for Saturday's Vacation Bible School Friday at 9 a.m. We'd appreciate the help of as many of you as we can. It'll go by quickly if we have enough hands to help us there. And now that is, of course, next Saturday's worship. And then just so that you'll know, then 2 weeks after that, which is actually going to be August the 19th, is when our Faith Factor, they will be starting back up again at that time. So Just a couple of final things here. We had a night out last night, and our next one is going to be scheduled for September 30th, but we want to thank everybody that came and joined us for that last night. Those night outs on Saturday night are becoming something very precious as we after worship go to a series of restaurants around town, so help us with that. I've been asked to remind everybody to please bring your bulletin. If you go out to eat after worship at some point, bring your bulletin to Nico's place on Sundays. And everybody that does so and brings their bulletin through the month of August will have a dollar donated to our congregation's ministries here. So please make sure that gets done. Finally, we've had some people that we need to keep in our prayers, Yvonne Berkey has been providing us updates for a young baby that had to go through a transplant and has really had a very difficult beginning of life. Her name is McKenna, and things are going much, much better for McKenna. She has been released from the hospital. And obviously has a long road ahead of her yet, but things are looking good. So we'll keep her in our prayers. We also want to pray for Jerry Brock and Connie Roach. Both of them have been hospitalized this past week at Trinity. Now both are home, and obviously Larry is with us here right behind me here this morning. But and Jerry was at last night's MOCA meeting, so getting stronger by the day in both cases, and so, but it was rather tough week for both of them there. So let's make sure that we keep them in our prayers for this morning. Then just that last thing that I'm going to share, just a couple things on my behalf. I am presiding over a wedding next weekend up in Illinois. I know it's not easy to do, especially now that I'm finding out that apparently I have what's called a torn PCL. We'll see what comes of that here in the weeks to come, but doing the best we can here. I am some better after a cortisone shot today, but thank you for your patience in helping me just kind of get through. I know that you'd much rather see me standing in the middle of things, but we'll do the best we can to get through two services in Bible class this morning. Okay, our order of service. This is the only fifth Sunday here in 2017 where we are not having an anniversary celebration, and in fact, the only one of the 53 Sundays where we don't have communion at any of the services today. Our order of worship is based on the order of matins for this morning, and we're going to begin here with the responsive invocation and the confession and absolution in just a moment. So we'll take a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts for God's word to come into our hearts, and then we will begin our worship. Thank you for joining us today. Please stand. As we begin by calling to mind our baptisms, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from Christ Jesus, our Lord. Christ Jesus is interceding for us. 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 Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from Christ Jesus, our Lord. Mighty and merciful Lord, with heavy hearts we confess our sin to you, beginning with a moment of silence. O Lord, when we have lived as though we are separated from your steadfast love, when our loneliness has caused us to question your abiding love, when we have let others around us live in loneliness when all they need is a listening ear, when we have separated ourselves from the church, from friends, from our families, bring us to repentance, Lord. Forgive our sins, those of which we are aware and those we do unwittingly. Have mercy on us, seek us, for you alone can find us and restore us. Thus says the Lord God in Holy Scripture, if God is for us, who can be against us? Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all your sins. So at the command and promise of our Lord Jesus Christ, as a called and ordained servant of the word, I declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Redeemed, restored, ready to serve our Lord, we greet one another in the peace of the Lord. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Today's readings from Holy Scripture are for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. The Old Testament lesson is taken from Deuteronomy 7. Chosen to be a treasured possession. Moses writes, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. This is the word of the Lord." The epistle lesson is taken from Romans 8. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus. St. Paul writes, "We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised. Who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are total conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets.
Our gospel, the good news being read in Christian churches throughout the world in this day, comes from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, parables describing the kingdom of God, as Jesus said. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure, hidden in a field which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great price, value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Holy Baptism, parts 3 and 4. How can water do such great things? Certainly not just water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this Word of God in the water. For without God's Word, the water is plain water and no baptism. But with the Word of God, it is a baptism. That is, a life-giving water, rich in grace, and a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit. As St. Paul says in Titus chapter 3, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. What does such baptizing with water indicate? It indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Where is this written? St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Friends, in all these things, we are total conquerors through him who loved us. For I also am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor rulers, nothing in the present nor in the future, no powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. May that love be in us and guide us throughout our lives. Amen. That is my text for this morning, my friends, and indeed, we have learned that some of the greatest words that have ever been spoken, words that are remembered through the ages, are words that have a truth about them. A truth that helps you not only to remember those words, but to make sure that they are being lived out. When I was in high school, I was asked at some point for something that was, I don't even remember what the celebration was, but I was asked to bring back and memorize and recite the Gettysburg Address by Abraham Lincoln. I tried doing that stuff. I think a lot of people, young and old, try to remember something, and you just try to go through each of the words and try to remember if the A comes before or after the the, and at some point, you're never going to learn it that way. So I stopped and I decided to do a little bit of research about the Gettysburg Address, and it's amazing some of the things that I found out. But one of them was that there was a keynote speaker that day in Gettysburg, who was going through the history of what our country had been through, and he spoke for almost 2 hours. They did that stuff back then. But once he finished up then, and the plan all along had been, okay, President Lincoln, that person's going to speak first, then we would like you to come in and say, quote-unquote, a few appropriate remarks. Lincoln had prepared something as he began those words 47 years ago. And as I learned about the background of what he said and why he said it, all of the words fell into place to the point where once you get to the end of it, the government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from this earth. And as we went forth, I had a great pride in it, but that's when I had done some more reading about what happened, that once the speech was over, it was so short, some of the people really hadn't even gotten comfortable in their seats, and they started looking around at each other and asking themselves, what in the world was that? And in the first couple of days following the speech was almost totally panned by anybody that had something to say about it. There was nothing there. He said a few things and off he went, until the folks that had moved the podium that had been used for that day and had been taken back to a courthouse, somebody went and noticed that Lincoln's manuscript was still on that podium. They had just moved it back and it was there. Lincoln had not picked it up when he was done. And then the people that had found it started reading it, and then reading it again, and again, and realized how special those words really were. It ended up being the turning point in the war between the states. Well, my friends, we have something even better. It's called the Word of God. And perhaps nowhere in Scripture, maybe even amongst the words that given by Jesus himself, but almost for sure amongst the words that Jesus himself did not actually speak, although all of it is about him, it doesn't get better than what we saw today. And so I want to share with you a few minutes about what these greatest words really are, the truest words, and why. Because as I was, I've had to go through and read and study these words before, but something hit me that had never hit me before. All of a sudden, I realized I was looking here in today's epistle lesson at a classic, almost perfect, three-act play. Now, I don't know how many of you have taken the opportunity to go to good old traditional three-act plays. The movies of today are just getting to the point where inside the supposed attention span of the people that are going, they're going to try to bring something about. But that classic three-act play, some of which is more like a musical, some of which is just like a play, but all of them, I was even taught in school what you were going to try to do, what they are trying to accomplish in a three-act play, and it was right here in front of me. So we look at what would be Act 1, and of course, the purpose of Act 1 is to identify two things. Number one is the star, or shall we say, stars of the show. And of course, you got to go through all of these unique and special ways to bring in these people, to introduce them to you, to get you very quickly to either like that particular person or that one that comes in that you are supposed to not like. All of that is supposed to happen very quickly. But then, very quickly, the plot, that which is the problem, is identified. And when you see those words, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And we have a problem. As we think about what that supposedly means, and we're like, no, wait a minute. Okay, the star of the show here, on the one hand is God, on the other hand is you. All things work together for good in my life. And yes, I have been called according to his purpose in the waters of holy baptism. So right off the bat, we can see that there is a difficulty because we're constantly praying for people that are in difficult circumstances. We constantly know and maybe even have to counsel people that are going through some of the most difficult times. People with whom, no matter what you are going through, you would never want to trade places with them. And yet, we are supposed to believe that all things work together for good for those who love God. It will resolve itself, but not yet. Because then in Act 2, Act 2, of course, is the longest part of the play. It gets right into the heart of things, and you see so many different subplots going on. You see the kinds of things where all of a sudden we see the trouble. We see some things that it's hard to know how all of it is going to fit together, but eventually it does. And that's where Paul writes. Here's what happens. Those whom he has known from the beginning, he has predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. That God has already set us aside. That God has already prepared for us something amazing, but not something we can always see or feel or understand. And those whom he predestined, from the beginning, he has called to be his own. Those he has called to be his own, he has also, the term it says, is justified. declared free from sin, taken away their sins by the blood of the cross through Jesus Christ our Lord. And those whom he has declared free from sin, he has glorified. He's prepared them for that moment of life everlasting. And in the midst of that, my friends, we see so many episodes of our own life go before us. Where perhaps God is preparing us for something, but we are led down so many side roads. Often because of our sins, we take many of our own detours. And sometimes, as what happens in a play is that there might be that person that is the star of the show, but they want to make sure that he or she is not, shall we say, overexposed. You will only see so much of them, and they will disappear completely for a number of scenes, just so that when the time comes, when the important scenes, the scenes that tie it all together are there, there you see it. It's the way we feel sometimes, that God has somehow been left out of certain scenes of our life. Of course, he hasn't. He's always there. But as we go through this remarkable play, but it is a play that is based in reality, sometimes we go along without God, or we feel God has gone along without us. Which finally brings us to the final act. The climax is supposed to take place at the end, up towards the end of the second act. And in the midst of this comes the question, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for all of us. The climax will always be found at the cross. The most important event in our life, in the acts that take place within each one of us, always brings us back to what Jesus Christ has done. So, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Well, that's what brings us to Act 3. If you studied a little bit of theater, you will know one of the things that's supposed to be in Act 3. The climax, the big part supposed to be in Act 2. But in Act 3, there is this thing that, and I hope I don't butcher the French, but I believe it is pronounced denouement. It is we'll call it a subclimax, but something that builds up once again so that the final resolution can take place, so that what it is that's going to be the final result of that play can finally play out. And there's the question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, and folks, tribulation is more than trouble. Tribulation is the kind of thing where it is almost like a fight to the death every single time we awaken. And that battle indeed is going on. The battle against sin, the battle against the devil, the world, and our troubled selves. Shall distress that is never far away in our lives, or persecution in which people just downright want to make fun of you or really try to cast stones at you, literally or figuratively, because of what you believe, or any of these other things? We face danger wherever we go, and it's not good news when we're told, for your sake we are being killed all the day long, we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Really? But then that is where the denouement is resolved. No. In all these things, we are total conquerors. The battle has already been fought. The war is over. Because I am sure that nothing, and you may see it all, death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nothing in the present, nor things to come, no powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation. Nothing will ever separate you from the love of God. At some point, you find a serenity in that. And then all of a sudden, you go back to the beginning of the play, and here were these words. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. There are some things in life we may never understand. But one thing we can be sure is that God has a plan for you that will include those things and includes bringing you closer to him. My friends, when it comes to plays, I have been in just about every place there is to be. I have been one of the people, I was never the actual star, but I was one of the co-stars, so I have been on the stage. I have been in the audience. I have been in the orchestra. I have been amongst the stagehands whose job, whether it was stuff before and after the play, or that little thing where somehow the lights go out, and you had to know exactly what you had to do, what you had to get out, what you had to get on, what scenery needed to be dropped just very quickly so that when the lights came up, bang, you were in the next play. I have controlled the lights. I have done everything but one thing. I've never been the director. Nor do I care to be. And in your play of life, guess what? You don't need to worry about a director either, because the director is controlling things just fine. It is God himself who's directed the course of our life so that in all of these things, my friends, you are total conquerors through him who has loved you, whom God gave up so that you may have, along with him, all things. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's receive our offerings. If you've not yet filled out the Faith Fellowship cards, please do that. Let us know that you were here. Oh, moment. I did say, if you look up on the screen this morning, as our ushers are gathering, I have put up before the screen those people that at our 11 o'clock service are going to be joining our midst. We have the Reverend Roger and Nina Keller. They come to us by transfer from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in De Pere, Missouri, and that's spelled D-E-S and then capital P-E-R-E-S, but it's pronounced De Pere, Missouri. Of course, Pastor Keller has already begun helping us out in some of our worship services. And also with some of the things that we're doing regarding visitation and so forth, it's going to be playing a very active role also here in our congregation, and we're grateful that they have moved full-time now down into Florida and here into our midst. The other name is a name that's going to be quite familiar to most of you. In fact, you probably may not have even have known, but just for all of you that knew Grace Selko, well, wait a minute. All this time, and she wasn't a member of our church, but that is indeed the case. She has had membership in Susquehanna, Pennsylvania, and has finally decided to become a full-time member here that we received by reaffirmation of faith. Those are our three. We have others that have been sitting on the fence, and hopefully very soon we'll be adding many more into our midst this morning. But let's take a moment and let's pray for our new members. Lord Jesus Christ, you have knit us into one body. You have made us to be your children, and you have a purpose, whether it's for each of us individually or as you have gathered us together here as one body. Bless and be with our new members. Add the talents and the gifts and all of the fruits of the Spirit that you have placed into them into the midst of all of the things we already have here. May all of their time here be a blessing, and may each of us be a blessing also to them. May we also realize that as a church is constantly changing, you bring to us new opportunities, new challenges, new ways of being able to make sure that it is your will that is being done. So bless Roger, Nina, and Grace, and their time here. And indeed, may each and every one of us remind ourselves that as you have given us the privilege of being a part of such a special congregation, you have made us most importantly part of the body of Christ, the faith that endures to everlasting life. Keep us in that family until we are united in life everlasting with you. In your name we pray. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and love, that receiving what you have promised, we may love what you have commanded. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O Lord, our dwelling place and our peace, you have shown compassion on our weaknesses. Put far from us all things that fill us with worry and fearfulness, that as we have confessed our sins and commended ourselves to your gracious mercy, we may see all of the goodness and the abundant blessings that you have placed into our life. We ask that you be with all of those who are in any need of body, soul, heart, and mind. On behalf of McKenna, on behalf of Connie, on behalf of Jerry, and on behalf of someone in our own lives that we lift up to you in a moment of silence. Help us, O Lord, that we commit ourselves, our work, and all we love into your keeping. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We close in prayer together. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thanks for being a part of our service today. Go in peace and serve the Lord.